1 Corinthians chapter 7, as we continue our study today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we will begin reading in verse 1, talking about the subject of marriage today. Now, if you're not married, you may think this doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you, okay? Especially if you're a young person. Because whether you know it or not, you're probably somewhere in the future going to get married. You need to know how to act when you get there, right? Need to know how to do it. It's always good that you don't learn afterwards. You need to learn before, okay? And so today we're going to talk about real people with real problems. And one problem that they had was, of course, marriage. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of the lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. How many of you are married? Would you just raise your hand? How many of you are good at it? Boy, there was a lot less hands. What happened? He said, no, I'm not going there. No way. Well, this is kind of instruction in how to be good at it. Okay? This is knowing how to be married. And you know, marriage is not always about happiness. I hear people say, I'm not happy, Brother Doug. Well, you know what? Join the rest of us. There are ups and there's downs. Good days, bad days. You know, if your focus is, you're not always happy. Okay? It's okay if when you come home in at night, your wife doesn't fall into your arms and say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you have this fairy tale relationship. It's okay. Because that's what it is, a fairy tale. But there are some things that should always be present in your marriage. Three things Paul shares with us today. Number one, there should always be a standard in your marriage. Number two, there should always be satisfaction in your marriage. And number three, there should always be security in marriage. And we're going to start with having a standard in your marriage. Paul gave us a command right from the very beginning. And that command was, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, the first thing we think as we read that is, well, I'm supposed to keep my hands off women. That's actually not the way the Greek reads. That word good in the Greek, it means to be in accordance with a high standard. So Paul's going much deeper than just very simply saying good. He's saying, here's the high standard of a godly marriage. And that standard is... It deals with our condition. He said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And I shared this with you from a couple weeks ago. That word touch means to burn with passion. It doesn't just mean that, you know, to touch a woman. It means to burn with passion, that when you see a woman, the first thing that comes to mind are things that should not come to mind, you know? It's that idea that you see a woman, and as some men have said, you undress her with your eyes, and that's, you know, that's not the standard that Paul has for the child of God, or that God has for the child of God. Okay? Women are more than sex objects. Same goes for a man, okay? And Paul from the beginning says, look, I know there is a natural desire among men and women. A natural desire that has to be satisfied. And if that desire is not satisfied, it will grow to the point of sexual immorality. If left unchecked, it will grow to the point where you do things that you just know you do not agree with. That's why Paul said, here's the standard. The standard is, it begins with one man and one woman. That a man have his wife and a woman have her husband. Okay? And that relationship has to be built on common ground. There has to be common ground in the marriage relationship. And let me just ask you, what is your standard for your spouse? Young people, teenagers, here's the thing. Where most young people mess up is they don't have a standard. That when you look at a person, you know, and guys, and I'm going to use guys for example. Guys, if you look at a girl and she is good looking, that's your standard, right? That's what you're looking. Man, she is pretty. That's all I need. You better shoot higher. Because there are girls that are pretty on the outside that are ugly on the inside. And I do not mean that. That's just a fact. Ladies, young ladies, any ladies, if your standard is, my, he's handsome, you better go deeper. Because they can be handsome on the outside and an ugly mess on the inside. Okay? And so that's why there has to be a standard that goes just beyond looks or beyond, you know, we like the same things. We both like sports it's got to go deeper. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Here's our standard. All right? Are you with me? I want everybody to get this, because if you're not going to build it on this, you're going to build it, you're going to build a marriage relationship on shifting sands, asking for trouble. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Unequally yoked. Mismatched. Meaning. Okay? If they're not a believer, you don't want him. Okay? And I've been told and told and told. Well, now, Brother Doug, I just might lead him to the Lord. Here's the thing. Okay? Listen to me and get this. Teenage boys and girls, listen to me and get this. If you're going to date somebody based on the idea that I might lead him to the Lord, do it this way. Lead him to the Lord first. Then date him. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to get into a mess that when you get married, you're going to have one set of values and he's going to have a completely different set of values. You're going to love Jesus and you're going to love the Lord's church. He's not going to care anything about either.
You're going to want to train your children up in the Lord. You're going to want to read them the Bible and teach them the Bible stories. He's not going to have anything to do with it. Time and time again, it comes to the point of counseling people that they did not have that common ground. And once they got married, they realized, hey, our marriage is broken. Well, let's just fix it from the start. Men and women, young and old, let's build a marriage relationship with two believers, not unbelievers. You've got to have this in common. Oh, Brother Doug, that's old fashioned. Listen, God knows what He's doing. That's why He gave us His Word. All right? Got to have the common ground. There must be a standard. And that standard for the child of God is that they are looking to date another believer. Then there must be satisfaction in the marriage relationship. Here's the satisfaction. Are you satisfied? Don't answer that. Satisfaction starts with an obligation. Marriage is an obligation. In verse 3, Paul wrote, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." Now, I realize the sexual overtones of this entire chapter, but I want you to get, it goes beyond just sexual, the idea of sexual overtones. That word due literally means to be obligated or indebted. If I owe a bill, I'm obligated. So what Paul is saying that the husbands and the wives are obligated to one another. What do you owe? You owe affection. Affection. Okay, again, that word affection goes far beyond a sexual environment. That word literally means goodwill or a good attitude or just simple affection. You got to show them that you love them. Okay? You owe them that. You owe them an attitude of love in your marriage, an attitude of respect and honor and value. And what Paul is saying here when he says, render to his wife affection due her. What he's saying is, look, you owe a debt. Husbands, look at your wife and say, you owe me. Watch this. Wives, look at your husbands and say, you owe me. They didn't have a problem with it, did they? They can do it. Listen, we owe one another. And that's what Paul is trying to get across here. We owe one another a debt. A debt of love and honor and respect. And Paul, what's Paul? He's saying, pay your debt. Brother Doug, I don't like to look at it as an obligation. You better. Because I will be honest with you, there are times that you really don't feel like love, honoring, and respecting as you should. But you do it anyway. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And you owe that debt to your spouse. You see, these things that we're talking about today, to be honest with you, no one ever set me down as a young man and explained this stuff to me. What they told me was, you get married, it's for a lifetime. Okay? You're unhappy, deal with it. That was kind of the marriage counseling that I received. But I've learned through time that God's Word is a pretty good marriage guide. It's the best marriage guide. And when I say marriage is an obligation, I'm saying what Paul is doing, he's taking the self-centeredness and the selfishness out of marriage. It's not about you. If husbands will quit thinking, What's in it for me? And wives, stop thinking, well, what are you going to do for me? And we start making our goal or the motivation of our marriage an obligation of what can I do for you? Marriages will be a whole lot happier. You know? That's why I say marriage is an obligation. You owe it to her to do everything, man, you can do to make her happy. How are you doing? Okay? I'll let you answer that. But ladies, you owe it to them, to your husbands, to do everything you can do to make their life joyful. How are you doing? How are you doing? Brother Doug, you don't understand. I have kids and I have all this. No, no. When you said I do, he became the priority of your life. Okay? That includes kids. Kids don't come first. Your husband does or your wife does. Now, I'm not saying you won't sacrifice on behalf of your kids. You will. But it's an adult sacrificing knowing you've got to do that to take care of kids who can't take care of themselves. Realize as a in your marriage, it's an obligation. Realize that marriage is an occupation. You've got to work at it. Marriage is not easy. Okay? Paul said, you do not have authority over your own body. That word authority means to be the master. You're not the master of yourself. I had a guy one time that I know very well. He was put in a position that he didn't really like to be in. He said, I'm 40 years old. I'll do what I want to do. Have you ever thought that? Go ahead and see how that works out for you. When you decide you're an adult, you can do what you want to do, that's selfishness speaking. You do not belong to yourself in the marriage relationship. Guys, you literally belong to her. Women, you literally belong to your husband. Oh, no, Brother Doug, I don't do it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And here's your responsibility. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. I know this is politically incorrect, but it is biblically correct. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Okay? What that means is, it doesn't mean you're a second-class citizen. It means that you put your husband in the leadership role of your home. And when you do that, you expect him to make leadership decisions based upon God and God's word and God's will. Okay? It does not mean you're a second-class citizen. Anything and everything has to have a leader. Right? What's a body without a head? Dead. It's just dead. It just don't want. There has to be a head. Okay? Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Okay? Ladies, it's your job. It's your goal. It must be your goal as a child of God to put your husband in that leadership role in your home. Husbands, here's your role. Love them like Christ loved the church. In doing that, 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. I love this. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Dwell with them according to understanding. That word understanding means wisdom. Dwell with them according to wisdom and consideration. Put it in our language. Guys, if you're going to get married, you better be smart. Okay? She's a lady. Treat her like a lady. Okay? Treat her like a lady. Meaning, she's first. in every situation in your life. And sometimes we get kind of sidetracked there, don't we? But guys, that's what being the leader of the home, the head of the home, is about. You're the head to take care of those who are following you. And with your wife, you dwell with them according to wisdom or according to understanding. You understand who they are. Do you know your wife, by the way? Do you know things that drive her bananas? Guys, do you know the things that drive your wife bananas? Come on, say amen. Don't do them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do you know what your wife likes? Do that. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Boy, Brother Doug, you're a rocket scientist, aren't you? No, it's pretty simple. It really is. Know the woman that you marry. Treat her like a lady. Treat her like the princess of your life that she is. And guys, let me give you something else, okay? I said in the beginning, you know, people didn't set me down when I was young and say, okay, this is how you do. This is how you treat a lady. Dad, set your boys down and teach them how to treat a lady. Okay? Do not let them get away with disrespecting a lady. All right? Guys, boys, young men that are not married yet, grab this. Okay? How do you treat your mama? Have you ever opened the door for your mama? Oh, Brother Doug! Girls, I want to tell you something. You want to know how he'll treat you? You look and see how he treats his mama. Okay? Dad, set these boys down and teach them how to love and respect their mother. Teach them to open the door for their mother. Teach them to listen to their mother, to honor their mother. Teach them how to act or teach them how to treat ladies. All right? That's the great downfall of our society. We went through periods of you just didn't talk about certain things. You better talk about them today. Okay? Set those children down. And ladies, set your daughters down. You see, everything in life today is teaching women's independence. And you fend for yourself and teach them how to treat a man. You know what a man needs more than anything else? He needs respect and honor. He needs to be treated like a man. And if you want to make your husband happy, you respect him and you honor him. Right? You let him, when he does something, it's crazy. I know we're different than women. You want to make your husband's day? When he mows the yard, say, "Wow, you did a super job. The yard looks good." And you know what he's going to do? He's going to, "That's right. I climbed on that mower and I did it. And my wife happy about it." You know? Men need that. Men need that compliment. And you may think, that's no big deal. I mean, let's face it, when we kill a deer, the reality is that most women could care less. Okay? Isn't that a fact? Women, I say, yeah. But boy, we guys look at these antlers, you know, and we get our picture took. "What do you think, honey?" And the wife says, "Oh, you're my hero." And we just swell up. You know? We need that respect. Major on the minors. All right? Respecting that husband. Husbands, major on the minors. Loving and honoring that wife and making her feel like a lady. Because marriage is a job. Security in a marriage. There has to be security. in a marriage. Paul said, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. And again, I understand the sexual overtones there, but it's even deeper. That word deprive means do not rob, do not steal, do not defraud. So it literally says, do not defraud one another. You see the dishonesty? Here's what happens in marriages today. We get, you know, we become very self-centered, and I don't want to, and I don't like that, and I'm not going to do that. And the first thing you know, we're robbing, literally robbing our spouse of the honor that the marriage should contain. That's the way God looks at it. You're being dishonest. And we think of dishonesty as being unfaithful of me, you know, of someone having an affair. Oh, it goes much deeper than that. Listen, when you rob that lady of the affection due her, you're being a thief. And a dishonest marriage won't last very long. Okay? And then there has to be one central fact in a marriage. And you know what that fact is? And this is, I think we're done with marriage after this message today for a while. I'm sure we'll come back to it eventually. But I want everybody's attention, young and old. When you say it's done, or when you say, I do, it's done. Okay? Now, I made this comment before, and I know that there are probably those that in this congregation who have been divorced in the past. And listen, we can't go back and we can't undo anything. We can't change anything. But what we have to do is live from here forward. Right? Okay? So, do not deprive. And do not depart. Do not deprive. Do not depart. You see, when you say I do, not only are you making a promise to that woman, that lady that stands before you, you're making a vow before God, saying, I'm going to live with this lady for the rest of my life. And the reality is, it gets hard. I mean, sometimes I'm hard to get along with. Sometimes Beth's hard to get along with. And we just pray that it doesn't happen at the same time. Because when both of us gets hard, it gets hard. But every once in a while it does wind up both of us. But there has to be a common agreement. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You see, I think Beth knows that at this point, you know. I'm not leaving, and even if I do, I'm just going to be leaving with her because she decides she can't take care of, you know, take me anymore. We live in a world where marriages become thrown away. I'm not happy. I'm leaving you. Listen, a spouse is not an old broken TV. A spouse is a blessing from God. Do not let the word divorce exist in your vocabulary. Don't do it. As I said, you know, and you may have a past and you can't do anything about the past, but you can do it from this point forward. There better be security in a marriage. Okay? And one of the greatest securities is I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. If you got that, then that puts you in a position of, well, we've got to work it out because I can't live this way, right? We've got to work it out because I've got to live with you. I think we look at the Bible and we look at the marriage instruction in the Bible as, well, it's really good till it comes down to the fact that it caused me to do something I don't want to do. You know? And I don't want to stay married. Well, listen. It's not about you. Okay? It's about God. And ultimately, what you've got to have the faith enough to know that the reason God gives this to us is not to boss you around and tell you what you can and what you can't do. He gives you this because it's what will make your life worth living. Okay? Listen. Listen to it. You may be here today and, boy, you've had some marriage challenges. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't back up. You made a commitment. Stand by your commitment. Work it out. You may be here today and you're young. Okay? You don't have to. You're not even worried about marriage yet. It's time for you to start listening to your mom and daddy. Okay? How to treat husbands and wives and men and women. You may be here today and you can't build a solid marriage because you're not even a child of God. Oh, listen, I don't want to get married if I'm not a child of God, because the standards, there is no standard without that. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, where would you go? You're going to go somewhere. Where would you go? Let's be honest. If you were to die right now, where would you go? And everybody in here will say, I'd go to heaven. Why? Why? And if your answer is anything besides faith in Jesus Christ, you better back up, because you're missing it. You may be here and there's another need in your life, and Jesus is completely leading you to make a commitment that's not even been covered today. And I would just challenge you. In a moment, we're going to have a verse of invitation, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you. Will you come and let Jesus reign as Lord in your life? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction and instruction. Lord, may we take it seriously. Help us as men to be men, to treat our wives with the respect and the honor that we owe to them. I pray, Lord, that you would help our women to be women of God, to treat their husbands with honor and respect. And I pray that you would help us all to have a stubbornness about our marriages, that no matter what happens, we're not going anywhere. No matter how difficult it becomes, Lord, that we see it through. Lord, I pray that in this invitation, you would convict the lost and bring them to salvation. Those who've never followed you in baptism, I pray that they would come and make that commitment. Whatever the spiritual needs of this congregation, Lord, we pray your will be done in Jesus' name.